How we doing today? It's week 16. I know I've been missing out on a couple of weeks here. You know, it takes time to put these things together. I just want to catch up with everybody. We're coming into the heat of the political season here. We're going to be listening to a few of my buddies. Well, they're not personally my buddies, but guys that I respect, guys I like to listen to, and like to listen to their rants. And actually, what I like the most is talking about what they do wrong. Because, you know, I mean, these people that you're going to listen to pretty much think they're perfect, and I'm here to point out that they're not. So we're going to start off with our old friend here, Rush, and we're going to listen to him rant about the Democratic Party and the things that they're up to, and then we're going to get some feedback from yours truly.
I don't think he considers himself a regular person, and his comments in San Francisco indicate that he has contempt for regular people. In his stump speech, Obama uses this phrase, "We are the ones we've been waiting for," at the end of his riff on people waiting around for things to change. Somebody else. "We're the ones we've been waiting for to create change. The moment is now," blah, blah, blah. "We are the..." So it's an attempt to be inclusive. "We are the ones we have been waiting for." But, of course, now that we know the origins of this, it becomes even more peculiar. And anyway, that's we have another Joe Klein. All this, by the way, is the product of Operation Chaos. Remember, now that's the theme under which all of this is taking place. In the next bite, Klein goes on to admit that Operation Chaos is working. He doesn't say Operation Chaos. No, it doesn't. But that's not the point. We're not here for credit. Operation Chaos has created chaos. He details the chaos here in this bite.
The thing is that what's happening now is, I think that both of these candidates are diminishing themselves as the weeks go by. Obama is being diminished by the attacks against him, and Clinton is being diminished by the fact that she's launching all these attacks in a way that is very unusual for a Democratic candidate. You don't see a Democratic candidate often playing the race card, even in the subtle ways that Clinton has played it.
That's exactly right, but that's what Operation Chaos is creating. The race war in this country is in the Democrat Party, and the Clintons brought it to the surface. I kind of like this lament from Mr. Klein. Obama's being diminished by the attacks against him, and Clinton's being diminished by the fact that she's launching the attacks. These liberals are there wringing their hands. Oh, this is not good. Now, when you know, say a George Bush is being diminished, that's great. That's wonderful. We need to diminish George W. Bush.
I love these catchphrases. Chaos. That's what they're trying to do. Let's get real. This is a chance for the right wing talk show people to, you know, hone in on the things that the Democrats are doing, and they're just doing what they need to do to think that they're going to win. Let's hope not, but that's what they're going to do, and you can't blame them. And and to go after whoever they can. They're going to go after George Bush. They're going to go after McCain. They're going to go after anybody that they can. They're going to go after each other. Hillary and Obama are going to go after each other, but not as much as they're going to go after, Bush and everybody else. So they're just doing what comes naturally in their own instincts and their own survival to win, because they want to win. There's a lot of at stake for everybody, especially the ones that are putting in the money behind these people. So, let's not get sidetracked and thinking, let's talk about real issues, because they're not going to talk about real issues. They're just going to talk about the things that they think they need to talk about to win.
Profoundly gorgeous and beautiful renditions of that song, the Battle Hymn of the Republic, that I have ever heard. And I wanted to share that with you again. It's something I'm sure C-SPAN will be replaying this. No network would replay this. Fox carried it live, but I don't think a network's going to repeat this portion of it live. I don't know if it moved them or not. It's nobody talking. There's no news being made, except to me. I think it's huge news. In a presidential campaign which focuses on the rotten nature of the United States, the rotten nature of certain citizens, on the hopelessness that we all supposedly face, the fact that America is despised and hated around the world, that our reputation is in tatters, that our economic situation is bleak, that people are being thrown out of their homes every day, that they cannot afford food, they can barely afford gasoline, interest rates are plummeting, which is bad for seasoned citizens who live off the income of their portfolios. Everything is just rotten to the core. There's nothing about which to be happy in the United States of America. This is the theme day in and day out throughout the presidential campaign. It has been the theme day in and day out of media coverage for the last 6 years. It has been the theme of liberal messages to this country via the media and the Democrat Party for as long as I have been alive. Albeit a short interruption in that when the Clintons were in the White House, and then, of course, everything was hunky-dory and rosy. And amidst all of this pessimism, amidst all of this, the U.S. military can't win in Iraq, that we have basically surrendered, that there is no threat to the United States other than our own hubris and arrogance. Amidst all of this, Pope Benedict XVI arrives today, and in his remarks, praised the United States of America, blessed America, spoke of its greatness, traced to our founding and our founding fathers and our nation's acknowledgement that we are what we are and who we are for one reason, and that is God. Amidst all of this negativism, pessimism, today American exceptionalism was the focus at the White House. Long overdue and punctuated by this dramatic and goosebump-inspiring, chill-inspiring rendition of the Battle Hymn of the Republic by the U.S. Army Chorus.
There you go again. Of course, that's what they're going to do. They're going to talk about how bad things are. And you know what? Things are bad. Let's face it. I mean, we're Americans, and most of us, you know, we hold our heads high. But there's a lot of us right now that are really struggling, and we really got to get to the heart of the issues. And the heart of those issues are free trade. Our trade agreements around the world are just unfair. We've got to get more of our products out there in the world. That is our problems. And you know, that's what the Democrats are going to do. It's the doom and gloom, and that's what they're going to do. They're going to scare the people because they want to win. Now, you can't blame them, Rush. That's what they do. That's what they're going to do. That's what they're going to talk about. So let's be real. Let's talk about what we're going to do. And it's nice to see, you know, America sharing in the wonderful things that are going on around the world with the progress that we're making in this war. But we're not going to get enough of that right now. The media's going to focus on the doom and gloom. They're going to be behind the Democrats, because that's who they want. And we're just going to have to do what we can to stay positive and hope that the Americans do the right thing and vote for John McCain. Now we're going to bring up our next guest over here. He's not really a guest. He's just someone that I really respect, and I like to hear what he has to say most of the time. We're going to go to the Savage Nation with Michael Savage, and let's hear what he's got to say, and let's hear how I'm going to approach his message. Or messages.
In it, there was a chapter called Arafat, Clinton, and Kinsey. It's interesting that the author put the three in the same chapter under the title Sympathy for the Devil. So I will read what this author wrote about Yasser Arafat, because it's thus far the best summation of Arafat and how the liberal media distorts this man's legacy. He was a monster. This walking obscenity invented airline hijacking, hostage taking, school massacres, and suicide bombings. He also kept his own Palestinian people in a prison of moral, spiritual, and economic poverty. And I'll remind you that his wife, Sur Arafat, took hundreds of millions of dollars to her exile in Paris, money that she's not entitled to. She belongs in a jail in The Hague, but there is no Hague. There is no world court. The American media did this to you. They went over to the dark side. You see, they were intoxicated with their power, and these empty souls in the midstream media, who routinely put a corkscrew to world events and twist the news to fit their leftist view of history, took the death of Yasser Arafat in November of 04 to typify their insanity. The way the media covered Arafat's crossing the River Styx, you'd think Arafat was Abe Lincoln in a turban. How quickly the media elite suffered willful mass amnesia. Arafat was a monster. This walking obscenity invented airline hijacking, hostage taking, school massacres. He embezzled their money, the money that was given to the Palestinian people. And during his final years, he skimmed more than $2 million a month to line his own pockets. $2 million a month that was supposed to go to the betterment of the Palestinian people. And let's not forget that Yasser Arafat, the man who Jimmy Carter laid a wreath at his tomb, turned an entire generation of children into psychopaths. But you never know these facts, not if you picked up a midstream paper or watched the news in the wake of Arafat's death. No, the media glorified him and they adored him. They admired him as a freedom fighter and just cause against the oppression of the Israelis. Take the old York Times. Pinchy Sulzberger's paper called Arafat, quote, an enigmatic statesman.
We can talk about these evildoers and these evil people, Arafat and the rest of them, until we're blue in the face. We're just not getting the coverage out there. The guys like Carter going out there and dealing with Hamas, and I mean, it's just a crazy, crazy world out there. Thinking that people, there's not even a thought. There's just people that believe that we can all communicate, we can all get along, and you know, the famous words by Rodney King: "Can't we all just get along?" You know what? We can't. We all just can't get along. The people just believe what they want to believe. They're the way they're brought up, the way they're born, the way they're raised. They're out to kill every single one of us. And we have to put on some kind of sanctions against people who go out there and try to do business with these kind of people. So, like I said, you can talk about people individually, Michael. You can bring up Arafat. It doesn't matter. These people are bad. These people are evil. And there's only so much that we can do about it by going along with the liberal media and not giving them the proper exposure, and having the celebrities like your Sean Penns and your people like this going out there and doing their own thing. And you know what? Where is Sean Penn anyway? I haven't heard from him in a while. You know, come on. You know, if you're going to be outspoken about what you believe in, well, you know, keep it up. Unless it's just things aren't just going your way and you're hiding somewhere because you know what you are and you don't want to be a part of that anymore. And maybe that's a good thing. So maybe people are growing up out there. So, let's be positive that we can keep fighting and keep killing them. And that's what we're going to keep doing. And you know what? It may be 100 years. It may be 1,000 years. This kind of thing may take forever. Because they're just grown up and they're raised a certain way and they're not going to change, people. They're just not going to change.
There's no proof of any sex with underage children. It came out of the minds of the loofah man and his minions on Fox News. They're the ones fanning the flames of sexual slavery. And they forced the Texas state government to go ahead and do it by supporting this invasion. Do you have children yourself, Darren?
I'm hearing you now, that's for sure.
Darren, do you have children?
I do not.
Okay, if you had children, it would be more poignant for you because you'd understand that all it would take now is a neighbor or someone who doesn't like you to say that there's sexual abuse going on behind your bedroom door. And you want the state to have the authority without proof to come in and take your children away, give them into foster care? You don't want that to happen in America, Darren.
Point. Very good.
Thanks. Okay, I'm glad you understand things now. WTNT Jack, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi, and Michael. I really disagree with what you did yesterday with the Hitler thing.
That's a whole statement, or is that a half a statement?
No, it's not a whole statement, man, but, you know, I mean, that's not the right thing to do. I mean, I'm...
What part of it was not right? Tell me what part was not right.
What part was not right? You can't say that, about the polygamists, that they... We don't know what kind of Heil Hitler was that.
What are you talking about? Will you please make a point? What am I getting, people who are drugged up today? I don't know which side you're on.
Things like that. And just throw
what out. Side are you on? Are you in favor of police and body armor breaking into a church and taking children away based on false allegations, yes or no?
Yes. I mean, you know...
You like police breaking into houses and taking children. Is that what you're saying?
Why shouldn't they do it? I mean, this is America. This is not Iran.
You mean the police have the right to seize children without proof?
100%. I mean, you know...
You know, you're a very confused man, Jack. Jack, are you in therapy in any way? Do you know what you're talking about here?
Therapy?
Jack, you're a very sick man. Jack, is there any way that someone in your family can call 911 for you? I really feel... I'm frightened for you, Jack. Please don't operate any mechanical equipment today. Thanks for the call. KNEW, San Francisco. Sean, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Mike, I'd like to talk about how there was no investigation prior to the Yearning for Zion Farm break-in. There was no investigation. They just took it off a hunch, man, and that just doesn't make sense.
Well, I'm the only one in the media who's been saying this. I've been saying it since I studied this. These cowardly police in full body armor with machine guns, with armored personnel carriers, broke into a church and seized hundreds of children based upon a false allegation. There is no Sarah. She doesn't even exist so far. But that didn't stop Fox News nor the police from acting as though we're living in Nazi Germany.
You're right. Absolutely.
All right, so I'm the only one carrying the world on my shoulders here. And yet I'm getting people calling me whose wires are crossed.
Let's get the facts straight now, Michael. You know, what you do is... You know, you find a way to make the government out. I mean, first you're like, you're for the police, and we don't respect them enough, and then now you're going after them. I mean, I don't know. And the way you do it, it's frustrating to me, and I'll tell you why. What you do is you say that the government's coming in and they're taking, you know, they're going to take your children away from you in your homes. This wasn't exactly a house. This is a commune. This is some kind of cult. And these kinds of things are dangerous. We have to know what's going on in certain places. I mean, we don't know if they're hurting children. I mean, if there's reports, then we have to have investigations. And we need to get in there the way we need to get in there. And maybe they weren't allowed to get in there without having to use some force. You know, these kinds of communes are extremely, extremely dangerous to the American way. This isn't the American way. These communes can cause all kinds of problems in society. We don't know if they're paying their share of taxes. We don't know. You know, we don't really know exactly what's going on, and that's why the police and the FBI or whatever have to do the investigations they need to do. So don't act as if the police are coming along and they're ripping kids out of people's homes because of false allegations. I don't know, that could be happening. Well, I don't hear about it. I don't hear a lot about those kinds of stories, but don't make that, that's not the same analogy. So Michael, you have, and then, you know, you get your callers up there, and if they agree with you, you pat them on the back or whatever. But as soon as you get somebody who, you know, maybe is a little bit, even though he's twisted, or they're a little twisted in what they're thinking, you know, help them along, guide them. You know, don't just rip them apart. It's not, that's not godly. You know, what you got to do is you got to kind of coax them and get maybe dig a little deeper and try to get some information out of them that may be worthwhile to the listeners out there. Now we're going to go to my favorite radio babe. She's not too offended here by me calling her the radio babe. But, you know, she's on the right side. She, most of the time, I agree with about 99.9% of the things. I say that. I say that I can agree with 99.9% of the people that you see, you're hearing on this show. But, you know, I probably don't really mean that. But, you know, I think they're the ones that are doing the most good out there. And, you know, too bad they don't really get the true exposure that they need to get. And they're not really in the mainstream. I mean, if you want to call talk radio the mainstream, I don't know. I don't know how much the listenership is compared to, let's say, your regular media, but you know, in any event, I'd like to go to our girl Laura here and see what she has to say, and then I can and do my best I can to crumb on her.
Christianity, whether you're Catholic or whether you are Methodist or born again evangelical, and along with our Jewish brothers and sisters, and Muslims who want a better life. We have to see what the true threat is to mankind today. And all of those people spending all of their time trashing George W. Bush because he didn't do everything right in Iraq, or the Pope because of a past church abuse scandals, or the fact that there's not women priests, or the fact that he stands up for the unborn. Focus on who wants to kill you. Who wants to take your head off? Who would take your women and children and put them up against the wall and shoot them? Oh, the Quran says you can't do that. Oh, that's funny. It's happening all over Iraq and happening all over Africa. The Horn of Africa is on fire, my friends. We have got to learn what the real threats are. And I'm sick to death of these lame brains in the mainstream media vilifying the very people who are standing between the West and the Islamic radicals, who are, frankly, one of the only moral barriers left, who represent ideals and principles that are universal, that are not Catholic or not uniquely Christian even. It's about love and understanding and peace, and yes, you better believe justice, and protecting the innocents, the true innocents out there. And this is, I mean, we're going to get ready to hear the litany of complaints. I would urge them to direct their complaining and criticism to people like this Islamic cleric from Hamas who launched a tirade, a threat, a direct threat against Rome and all of Christianity. The bones of St. Peter are there under the Vatican altar. If you want to see the real threats, go to our website, lauraingram.com. Can read this entire rant sermon in its entirety and then tell me that the Pope is the biggest threat.
We know who the biggest threat is. And I would say that you're right on there 99% of the time there with that commentary. You know, you got to give people more credit, Laura. I mean, people really know who our enemies are. They just don't know how to go about dealing with them. The ones that know how to deal with them know what to do. That is to kill every one of them. But the people of you know, of God, and people spiritual, and the liberal people, and I'm not categorizing them together, but they tend to think that if we would just be peaceful and nice, and we can work things out, and what do you want, and what can we do for you, and what can they don't want to they just don't understand what the enemy is. And I know that that's what you were trying to do, but it does come down to saying that not everybody has to agree with what the Pope says. I think that when he comes and he talks about 9/11 and he says it's a tragedy, I don't think that he's really being real, real strong there. I mean, he should come out and say what he really feels about it, and not to be afraid to offend. I mean, that's what everybody's trying to appease each other. The Muslims are trying to appease themselves. The Catholics are trying to appease themselves. All the religions are trying to appease within their own religions. And that's what that seems to be part of the problem. We need to be able to have enough freedoms here to go after the people we need to go after. And if we need to go sometimes after the Pope because he's not being strong enough in his dislike for things, or his disdain for things, the Catholic Church and the priests being involved with the molestations. I mean, there's just no way that he's handling it with kid gloves. And that's why, for me, and maybe there's a lot of people like me, feel like this isn't strong enough. These words aren't strong enough. And words are powerful, and we need to be able to crystallize our thoughts. People and with that kind of power need to go after them. I mean, at least George W. Bush, he says it like it is. He calls them the Islamic terrorists. He calls them the things that, he's out there saying what the people are. And that's what we need more of. And, just because someone's a pope, I mean, that's, it's a special type of job. they still got to be able to be powerful in the things that they say, or they're just not going to get the respect. They're not going to get the people behind them. Now we're going to go to another one of my favorite characters. I'm sure everybody knows who this man is, Mr. Bill Riley. O'Reilly. As Michael Savage calls him, the leprechaun. You know, I've got a lot of respect for O'Reilly. He's right on, I think, more than most of them, with a lot of issues. And, you know, there's not a whole lot I can say without actually getting into some of the things he says. And that's why we're going to listen to his latest rants, and we're going to see how I can get a nice dig into him.
Barack Obama gave a little talk to his donors out in San Francisco. He thought it was off the record. He didn't think it was being taped. And he basically said, look, the reason a lot of people in middle America are teed off is because the economy's bad. It's not coming back. So they take refuge in guns and church and don't like illegal aliens and free trade. He was trying to explain frustrations at a level of where the working class is. Well, you know, it's condescending. You know, whatever his intent, when you talk about a certain group of people that way, it's condescending. And so Hillary Clinton picks up on this and has an ad out and all that. Now, I'm going to play you in a minute, but the San Francisco Chronicle, you know, a far-left outfit that has no appeal outside of the inner core of San Francisco. It doesn't even have any appeal in the Bay Area once you cross the bridge. It says in its editorial, quote, so if it's elitist or insulting to note that voters who are otherwise left behind the global economy sometimes have misdirected frustrations, which can be exploited for political gain, then Barack Obama has plenty of company, unquote. Okay, I mean, maybe, but, you know, if you drag in the guns in the church and the illegal immigrants, you're really looking for trouble. Now, am I upset about what Barack Obama said? No, I'm not. I mean, but I don't get upset about too much stuff. I'm going to play you an outrageous soundbite from Bill Maher about the Pope. I'm not even upset about that. I think it's terrible. But am I, you know, going to go out and punch Maher if I see him? No. All right? Dumb stuff is said all the time. But the impact on Barack Obama is obviously not good. All right. Now, we have some polling. Do you have polls over there? Did you guys give me polls today? No, you forgot?
I didn't see any polls.
All right. Give me some polls for the next break to set up Pat Caddell, please. From what I remember, Quinnipiac has got Clinton up by 10 or something like that. Six. And no change from last week. And then there's another poll floating around. I'll get it for you. But it looks to me like Barack Obama with the Reverend Wright stuff and this stuff. I mean, he's going to be weighed down, at least in Pennsylvania.
You know, if I didn't know any better, I would think O'Reilly is going to vote for Obama. I mean, you know, I tell you, I mean, I can't believe how soft you are, Bill, when it comes to this guy. I mean, it's like I'm listening to you sound like you're one of his biggest fans. I mean, I don't know. I mean, can't you rip him a new one? I mean, don't you know? Can't you see what this guy is all about? Why don't you discuss what you're really thinking? Unless you just there's no thought there. You just, you know, he's got these problems, you know, his priest, you know, or his pastor, you know, this right guy, you know, I mean, I don't know. It's like, go after him, O'Reilly. I mean, you know, I don't know. You've gotten weak. There's like a certain tenderness that you have now, like, because, oh, well, if, you know, what am I, I don't get upset anymore. And you know, what am I, you know, if Bill Maher said something about the Pope, what am I going to do, punch him? No, I'm not going to punch. I mean, what are you talking about? I mean, I don't know. Are you got a little bit of vino, a little alcohol on your desktop there, you know, taking little sips there because you're just so mellow. You know, we're in tough, ruthless times, people, and we've got to go after the people that probably are going to make things worse for us. And people like Hillary and people like Obama, those people get in the office, things are going to get worse. Read my lips. I don't know. I don't know where I get these things from, these little catchphrases. All I know is things are going to get way worse than they are now. I mean, I don't know. I guess it's just, you know, idiocracy out there. I mean, things just will get worse. I mean, more people, more resources getting used up. But, you know, if things are going to get worse, maybe we could somehow slow the pace down. you know, if we're just going to have this negative view that things are never going to get better again, maybe at least we can go in the right direction of at least slowing it down. I think, you know, having a guy like John McCain and, you know, talking about him all the time and playing his excerpts and seeing and you know, I don't know. Does anybody really know what it takes to run a country? I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, I'm watching this little miniseries. I don't know if anybody's seen it. I hope people are seeing it. The John Adams. I mean, there's just people like that anymore. The people that are, they're just so, they're so well read and they know what's going on and they're so detailed about what they talk about. I mean, you just don't hear that kind of language anymore. I know that it's the dumbed down theory and people are just, you know, they're out there talking to people, you know, trying to make sure that everybody understands every word they're saying. Well, you know, we can get a little bit sophisticated, folks. I mean, I wish the people that are running here would give us Americans here a little bit more credit. That's what we need to do. Give us more credit that we can understand. Get into the details. We want to hear details. We're tired of all the catchphrases and the things that you know we hear over and over again. Give us the facts. That's what we want. This is Heller's World. Thank you for joining us.
No time to wait. Something to create. It's never too late to begin it right now. What is this? Something that's on my list. Make a change. No time to rearrange.